how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer, nutricionista, especialista en
logística. Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido contable. A tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold-press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your crave.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Welcome into the Friday edition of Longhorn Live Stream. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by CJ Vogel and Rod Babers. Got a lot to talk about today. Texas softball, super regionals, Aggies are in town. Big series for Texas softball. Number one seed overall, number two seed Oklahoma. I don't know if they run ruled FSU technically, but it was 11, 3, and 5 innings last night. If Texas and OU meet up again, it would be in a for the, all the marbles in softball. So let's hope that the rematch happens. Oklahoma's won 17, I think, games in a row in the in postseason play, which that's a hell of a streak. We got some recruiting news to talk about. 44 official visitors. Texas offered another linebacker out on the West Coast yesterday. Johnny Nansen offered him. Elite camp, the June elite camp's a week away, where Dia Bell from American Heritage and Troy Hunt from Mission Hills in San Marcos, California. Sark's pretty much going to roll out the ball and make a decision on that 26 quarterback. So those names continue to grow on that list as well. We got updated college football playoff odds we may take a look at. If producer Matt, we may also take a look at something we did this morning, guys, is the strength of schedule for the SEC opponents of Texas. We may take a look at that later in the live stream as well. We're scheduled to have a guest. We'll see. It's kind of, we're having some connection issues there, but let's see about that. Rod, you know, CJ, just some opening thoughts today. 99 days away from Texas, Colorado State.
Beautiful.
It's coming. It'll be here sooner than you think. And I put up the note on Twitter earlier today too. I mean, we'll have that official SEC logo. It's already on DKR at the moment, right? But, like, you'll have that welcome party just over about a month now. So that's coming up soon. Of course, that milestone will be celebrated all throughout Austin, all throughout Norman as well. But, man, it's really coming quickly. You know, the first 5 months really flown by, it feels like. You know, we've had a lot to talk about, not only the NFL draft, the combine, the spring game. That all helps us get to where we want to be. And, of course, the official visit's coming up in June. But 99 days, single digits away from football being kicked off. And I'm really excited for this upcoming year, that's for sure.
Yeah, hey, Ron, good riddance to the Big 12. Good riddance to it, man. We're done with it. Yeah, good riddance to the Big 12. I don't like Texas legacy in the Big 12, and I don't like the Big 12 really that much either. Bad leadership, bad officiating. That's all right. It's time to upgrade. I'm happy with what's happening right now.
Hey, Rod, more importantly, before the 99 days to kick off, these guys are, I don't know, about 7 or 8 days from the toughest summer workouts they ever have, right? I mean, it's going to be hot.
No doubt.
That SEC logo could burn off the field in July and August before the season ever started. Well, talk about having gone through those workouts. What are these guys about to encounter? Because Trey Owens was on Third and Longhorn, did a great interview about how tough the pre-spring workouts were. And Jeremy Hills was kind of – and Fozzie were joking about with him about how tough it's about to get. You went through those summer workouts. What's in front of all these guys?
Yeah, man, and no doubt the workouts, I would say, even they're even more intense when the expectations are higher, right? When you're going into the season, the expectations are we should be a national title contender. I remember those days were different than the 99-2000 days where it's like, oh no, man, we're really good. We got some talent. We might be pretty good, as opposed to no, we should be competing for championships. All right. If we don't win a championship of some kind, conference or national title, it's going to be considered a disappointment around here. And that's when the workouts are really intense, because every day you feel like you have to get better. You have to improve every day. And then there's this pure accountability of making sure that everybody around you is working out and pushing themselves to a certain standard every day. So I think even the workouts that they've experienced in the past here under Steve Sarkisian, I bet now they're way more intense because of the play. I'm sure the coaches are doing the same thing they've been doing. I'm sure the sports science department, I'm sure they're doing the same thing they've been doing, strength and conditioning, everything. But the players themselves, they now are working out with a different intensity. I guarantee they are, because the expectations are a lot higher. And even nationally, I mean, you can't ignore it. We'll talk about the odds to make the college football playoff. We'll talk about the odds to win the SEC. We see it on our timeline. They see it too. Now, back in my day, we didn't see it. There were just whispers of it. Y'all had message boards, Jerry, back then. And
you had poison cheese in your locker.
We hear somebody, Mac Brown, every now and then, will say something. We gotta watch, you know, ESPN and the national shows to hear Texas being talked about. But now, man, it scrolls across their timeline. They know the expectations now for them. They know that this is a team that could be really, really special, and their first year in the SEC. And this is a team that's coming. I mean, a lot of these guys have already they won a Big 12 title just now. So they want to take the next step. And next step would be obviously in the SEC and competing for a national title, which they did last year too. So I'm excited for those guys. But yeah, in the Texas Heat triple digits, I can guarantee you, man, these guys will be pushing themselves to the absolute limit every time. If you want to beat Michigan, what did VY say? If you want to beat Ohio State, meet me out on the practice field. This is where it starts. This is exactly the same thing. You want to beat Michigan. You want to beat Georgia. You want to be the best team in the country. Every day, you got to go prove it. The bill is due every day.
Those aren't early morning workouts, right? Last year, I think we saw them around like 1:30 to 2, like 2 to 3. Like, those were the times that they were starting, right in the dead heat of the summer afternoons in June. That's not an easy thing to do. I think they actually started fall camp practices around that same time before jumping into the mornings to get acclimated to the season schedule as well. So those guys are going to be up there working, sweating, you know, getting their running, lifting weights, whatever, all with the sun up. You know, 100%. So that's going to be something I'm going to be glad I'm inside for. You know,
that's the best time.
Colorado State prep for this game. They do their workout in the 75 degree weather and then go sit in the sauna as a team for 45 minutes. I mean, how do you even prepare for this?
That's a great question, Jay. I don't know what they do, man. It's really no, for them, there's no simulation. Even Texas is going to be playing what, close to 80-90% of its roster, just trying to deal with the heat. And what, last year on the field, it was like 100, and for that Rice game, 120-something degrees on the field. Dude, that's where your cleats start melting. It's crazy. But in terms of the work, this is actually – because you have time now. I had to mention that, but you know, when you get to the, when school's in session and you got school in session along with practice and your obligations to the team and your NIL obligations now. And of course you want a social life because you're young. All right. So you want to go hang out and have some fun, experience the college life, man, there's just not enough time in the day to do all those things. And to obviously devote the appropriate amount of time to your, to cultivating your craft. This is this off season right here. Oh man, this is some of my favorite time to get better as a player. You got, cause you got time. You actually have time. You got to go to class. I don't have all the responsibilities and obligations. I actually got a couple of months here to truly just work ball. Now, the guys are probably taking some summer class, some summer hours here and there. So they'll take 6 or 12 hours or something. But it's not nearly the load you have when you're in season, during the season, prepping for the next opponent. And you're in, you know, you're in game prep mode week to week. So this is the time, man, when you work on all the, that checklist coach gave you right after spring. A, B, and C, I need you to get better at these things in order for you to get to the point where we want you to be, in order for you to be the best version of yourself. This is the time when you have the actual time to put the work in.
Here's the other suggestion for Colorado State. I absolutely agree. Rod, and to follow up on that, coaches notice who's in the film room in the summertime, right? Mm-hmm. They notice who's in the facility all the time. Now, my other suggestion for Colorado State team, because I know all those guys are listening to this live stream, obviously, is don't drink water. Drink 6 Dr. Peppers every morning before you work out. And that will best get you prepared for what you're coming to Austin to face in late August, on August 31st. All right, we're going to start off with a little recruiting today. Jamie French, 5-star receiver from Jacksonville Mandarin. I was by the school 2 weeks ago. I think Texas leads Tennessee, LSU, Miami, Ohio State slipped. You know, I still think it's Texas, LSU top two right now. I think it'll end up being Texas, Tennessee. But he started the spring game in 5-star fashion last night. If Matthew Hutchinson has that clip from the Mandarin spring game on Thursday. Here you go. And that quarterback, by the way, is committed to FSU. Florida's trying to flip him. That's Tremel Jones. And that's Jamie French.
Ooh.
Rod Neighbors.
Ooh.
One-hander. If you notice, they're playing on grass, not sport turf. So these Florida guys are faster than you think when they get to college. But the one-handed grab there, man. Find the ball, place the ball.
One-handed. Notice the release here. Set up inside, break to the outside, gone. Easy touch. I mean, that's a great route. That's actually solid coverage, good, you know, recovery there. But the celebration's down. I'm sure he'll be doing that a lot this fall, that's for sure. But Texas, I mean, making that strong push. That's a heck of a play. Like you said, Jerry, that's a 5-star play to open up a spring game. I mean,
it's hard to have a better catch than that. What do you do the rest of the spring game? Take off your pads? I mean, like, you're probably only playing like 3 series. He's got a little dance. Yeah. Cameraman blocked out the dance. Yeah. By the way, so we'll do this real quick. I always do this. I've started doing this on a show. We call it recruiting speed dating. So CJ will answer these questions real quick on recruiting. We'll start with 2025. Who would you take as the development D tackle? E. Kims is Chase Sims from Richmond Randall. I'll say mine first. I see DJ Sanders as a developmental guy. So if he's the fourth, maybe. I do like Chase Sims because I think he's more of an over the ball player, which I think could be important in this class. So who you got, CJ? Got anybody come to mind?
Yeah, I like your selection there. Sims, like you said, might get that nod just because of the continual need for bodies over the center. I was always a big fan of Xavier Upono out of Denton Geyer as well. I know Texas isn't that high on him at the moment. There's not been as much communication. He doesn't have an official visit set up with him, but he has a great motor. He has a high, you know, football IQ as well. One of those three, I don't think you can go wrong, but DJ Sanders, with the way that he's built right now, I think there's room for him to improve athletically at the next level, which will take his game to a next level as well. So that's probably my selection with where I would go with a developmental defensive tackle in this class.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island.
He's John LaFoot.
He stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer nutricionista especialista en logística.
Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido contable. A tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Yeah, and the other one, the big one for me, my number one decision is actually Gary Norris from Spruce Creek. Texas still looking at scheduling him for an official visit. And I say developmental because he's going to take some time physically, but very talented kid. I think if he ended up being your fourth in a class, that would be amazing to me. So we'll see what happens there. Florida and Texas trying to schedule official visits. He's got Miami. He's got Georgia Tech next weekend. He's got Minnesota. He's been recruited at a higher level than that now. A&M, LSU, some others have offered. Florida, Texas have offered since March. So Miami very much in the picture. When I was through there a couple of weeks ago, it sounded like Miami and Texas would be the top two if Texas locks in that official visit. We'll see. I'll throw one other D lineman out. That he's going to be on campus on the 8th. I'm not saying he's my pick, but I am saying – Kenny Baker was by Lorena High School near Waco in May. Jackson Blackwell is going to be at the camp to work out for the Texas staff June 8th. That's interesting that they've invited him back, invited him to the camp to work out. He's also doing the same thing for A&M. So he's that kid on the fringe right now. Dwayne Aquino wants him at Arizona. He's already made an official visit. He's got Baylor. He's got Houston. And he's got Texas Tech. He can commit to any of those schools right now. 6'2", 310 pounds. Rod squatted 700 pounds at state powerlifting meet. He's a pretty interesting guy. He would be an hellacious offensive center, but he wants to play D-line. As an over-the-ball player, really strong kid, small-town kid, he works his butt off, though. He's going to go to these camps, and I bet one of the – SEC schools, if he goes to two or three of these camps, I bet one of those schools may offer him because he's going to be so impressive with how hard he works at these camps and how hard he goes at the reps. He didn't have many offers. He showed up to the Under Armour camp in Dallas, a loaded camp, and got D-line MVP. Wow. So he's a kid that was kind of like Aide Nanning started popping onto the radar, and then colleges kind of took note of all his testing numbers because he ran a 4.6 laser shuttle at 300 pounds. So he can move better than people think, and he has that strength from powerlifting. So it'll be interesting to see if he earns an offer from either Texas or Texas A&M in June when he's at those camps. I think he's at 1-8 and 1-12, and maybe he has another one right around that time too. So that's maybe the sleeper name as far as who's Texas is considering. Here's one for you, Rod, that I think's interesting. How much trouble is James Franklin in for interfering with medical decisions? I don't know if you've read about that or if y'all have addressed that. If you haven't, we'll address it another time. But it kind of report came out, I believe it was from CBS earlier, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah, it was something about a player with some mental health issues.
Trying to get his scholarship so he could
have. And that was some allegations that the young man might have been threatening self harm, and still that was threats that they were going to take his scholarship. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I think that James Franklin would be in trouble if there are some big boosters, money donors behind the scenes that want a coach who can win big games, because yeah, he's winning games. There's no doubt about that. He wins games, but he doesn't win big games. And I think now they may be a little, you know, it's the fan base and some of the boosters and donors could be spoiled to the point where, you know, they want a coach that can win big games now. I'm not necessarily saying that's going to be an upgrade over James Franklin, but they got a lot of talent at Penn State, man. They have a ton of talent. Every draft, Penn State is loaded, well-represented in the NFL draft. So talent is not the issue as to why they can't win some of those big games. Money's not the issue either. They got tons of money up there at Penn State. So they compete in the NIL space just as well as anybody there in the Big Ten. I mean, Ohio State is king, but Penn State can hold their own. So, yeah, I mean, James Franklin right now, you could argue that he's hit his ceiling there at Penn State as a coach. You can make that argument. And if the boosters and the donors feel that way, they could use this as a wedge.
So Rod, what Rod's saying is if he doesn't make the 12-team playoff this year, watch out.
Yeah, they could. Exactly. This is one of the issues where they could find this and some other stuff that's maybe dirt or not dirt and go, hey, man, there's a culture here that's toxic. And, you know, he's not prioritizing the right thing. And this is not the way Penn State wants to conduct themselves. They could throw out all kind of stuff out there. So there could be a point. James Franklin, by the way, is a good coach. But yeah, is he a great coach, a championship coach? I don't know if they can answer that. And you may have some people that want to upgrade in that way.
Look, if you can't get there with Drew Allar, you may not get there.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, any story that starts with behind closed doors at Michigan or at Penn State is not a story I'm willing to openly listen to. You know, it sounds like nothing ever comes out positively about that. Yeah. But to that point, we've seen Big Ten schools fire coaches less, right? I mean, what was it? Northwestern a few years ago just had the allegations of hazing in their room after making the Big Ten championship and said Pat Fitzgerald hit the road. So it's not uncommon for them to find ways to, you know, depart with a coach, whether it be the administration's willing to or not. But that might just be the point. I like that idea, Rod, you know.
All right, here's another one from AJJ_sports. Do you guys think Sark will play Quinn longer than expected during the Colorado State game? This is a great question. To help him get more rhythm for the week next week against Washington, against Michigan. And that's a great question because you have Isaiah Bond new, Matthew Golden new, Ryan Wingo new, Jonte Cook, I say new because he didn't play a lot last year. DeAndre Moore, new, didn't play last year. Silas Bolden, new. Amari Nyblack, new. What do y'all think?
It's double-edged, isn't it? You know, you want your starting quarterback to be completely healthy, completely ready to go for that Michigan game. That is exactly what you want. I mean, you don't want him taking any hits week one, but at that same point, you want him on the field to have that rhythm. Luckily, Texas will have multiple scrimmages leading up to the first week of the season to get him acclimated to the speed, get these guys ready to roll with this new receiving core, obviously with the new tight ends as well. You know, Gunnar Helm, not necessarily new, but at that same point, you know, he's stepping into a newer role as that number one tight end, him and Amari Nyblack. We'll see exactly what that two tight end look will look like. But, of course, you want him to be 100% healthy. You don't want to overwork him in the heat as well. Maybe you see that, you know, air raid kind of get the ball out quick, a lot of quick early throws to get the rhythm going early in a game, whereas you get up early, then you can kind of look at it and say, all right, you got your work in. We'll move on to week two after this.
Yeah. I know. I'll just say that I hope right now, and I know that Quinn and those wide receivers every day in this offseason, they've got throwing sessions going. Every receiver with Quinn should have 3 to 4 times a week throwing sessions. They ain't got to last long. I remember Sims doing it with the receivers. The quarterbacks have the keys to the practice facility. They can go anytime, day or night they want to go. Whatever works with the guy's schedule, and just working on the timing, working on the continuity, ball placement, where the quarterback likes certain routes thrown. A lot of that work can be done in the offseason. But I agree. I think Sark would be willing to play him a little bit more just to confirm that they do have the timing down. They do have the chemistry and the continuity. And I think one of the reasons he's willing to play him more is because when you do trust that you have depth at a certain position in the quarterback room, you know, you trust that, okay, if something does happen, we're going to be okay. You don't have to work with, you know, putting that guy kind of in a glass case, if you will, to protect him, because you have Arch Manning. I mean, you do have depth at quarterback. I'm knocking on wood. Nothing. I don't think it's going to happen to Quinn, but if that is the concern, I don't think it's as much of a concern as it is when you don't have a true number two that you trust. Longhorn fans trust Arch, and so does Sark.
And if for some reason the Texas guys that are listening, y'all can't get into the facility or stadium, Rod and I will get you into the North Shore practice field anytime you want. All right, so I had to bring this up. I just want to congratulate Johnny Jackson on the Tito's purchase and vodka shots this afternoon. I'm glad you're here, man. We'll talk football with you anytime. Anytime. Hey, Matt, our producer Matthew, if we could bring up strength of schedule for the Texas Longhorns. That's kind of been popping up here in the last week or so. This is a great graphic by Matthew, by the way. He's champion of this. This is the strength of schedule rank for the Texas schedule, the teams on the schedule in the SEC. We talk about this all the time, guys. Florida has the hardest schedule I've ever seen in college football ever in a regular season. Oklahoma Sooners, 3. Vanderbilt, 6. Arkansas, 9. Mississippi State, 11. Georgia, 13. Kentucky, 16. A&M, 25. For those wondering where Texas sits, they're coming in 34 to 38 in the strength of schedule right now with all the early rankings I've seen. But takeaways from that, my takeaway this morning was Texas has an easier or better, not easier, better year one SEC schedule than Oklahoma. And I think that's kind of proven out here, guys.
Definitely. I mean, look at the projected win totals, right? 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, 2.5, right? Like, that's pretty favorable in its own right. You start off with Mississippi State, new quarterback, new head coach. Then you go into your toughest stretch, right? You know, that is Oklahoma, that is Georgia. After that, I think you ease up a little bit. And of course, you finish pretty tough on the road at College Station. But in between there, I don't think you play many of the top expected offenses. You don't have a Tennessee, you don't have an LSU, you don't have a Missouri, you don't have Ole Miss. That to me is a very favorable schedule for the Longhorns in year one in the SEC. Of course, you know, when you look at the 4-4 home split, road split in the SEC schedule, one of them is a neutral site game, right? It's in Dallas. It's against Oklahoma. It's not going to be an easy game, of course, you know, at any point. You never know what's going to happen in that game, but you're not truly on the road as one of your four road games designated each year. And as another road game, you're going to Nashville. You're playing Vanderbilt, whose entire, you know, stadium's under construction at the moment. So you'll be playing in a 25,000 seat, you know, stadium. You won't be playing in one of the more hostile Jordan-Hare caliber stadiums that you see in the SEC. Of course, the other two games are pretty tough, but on a given year, those four games might look completely different than what you're expected right now with at least two of those games.
Obviously, this is one of the big topics. How many wins does Billy Napier need to keep his job? Oh. That's going to be on every chat in America when they see the schedule.
Well, it's a bowl game. He's just, that's a hell of a job.
I think they already probably looking, guys. Honestly, I really do. With everything that's going on, with the lawsuit, and then there's some other stuff trickling out. That it kind of reminds me of the question. We just talked about the situation with Penn State and James Franklin. I think now you're going to start hearing about little stories about dysfunction within the program that people want out there so that they can give them a more reason to move on when Billy Napier starts hitting the losing streak, which is inevitable at one point in this schedule.
Yeah, so there was we had a graphic this morning on Coffee and Football that showed the updated Vegas odds to make the college football playoff. And of the top 20, Florida played 6 of them on their schedule. And not on that schedule is UCF. I mean, they play one non-Power 5 game, Samford. So the key for me with that, to answer that question with Billy Napier, is if he doesn't beat Miami at home to start the season, he's really up against it. Because November is like no man's land of all time in college football. I mean, they literally – I'm going to skip – I don't have the schedule here. I'm going to miss somebody. They end with FSU. They have Georgia. They have Texas. They have, I think, LSU. I mean, it's their November is a wild schedule. So their first three games, Miami, home, Samford, and Texas A&M. I think his really only shot with the back half of that schedule is to win two of those first three. I mean,
let's not forget UCF has added a ton of good.
KJ Jefferson's like the perfect fit quarterback out of the portal for them at Tennessee. I mean, look at that schedule. Look at their last five games in November: Georgia, at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and at Florida State. Can you imagine playing that 5 weeks in a row without a week?
They can go ahead and take off that SEC championship game at the bottom. Go ahead and take it off. Don't even bother with that extra slot.
Delete.
That doesn't need to be there.
Delete.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer nutricionista especialista en logística.
Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido contable. A tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
I would say one of the only hopes, and I'm not saying that this is going to mean they're going to be, you know, a team that wins a lot of games, but the only hope is that Graham Mertz, he's a little bit underrated, and if he has a breakout year, let's just say I'm talking about he's a year where he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. That's maybe something that could save it because he's, like I said, he's a little bit underrated if you go look at some of his stats from last season. I've been doing some prep on Texas future opponents, and I mean, like I said, he's got some impressive stats. Completion percentage, I think he led the SEC in completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio, he was second in the SEC, yards per attempt, he was like top sixth in the SEC. If he takes a leap, and they got some receiving talent, actually, Jerry, I remember you talking about this too, that could be pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
That would be the only hope. But then that gets them into a bowl game. That don't necessarily mean they're going to win a lot of games. That would be like just making sure they're competitive. And right now, a lot of people don't even know if they're going to be competitive. But he could take the leap.
Yep. He proved a lot of people wrong last year. You know, he came from Wisconsin. He was not an attractive portal addition at all after his tenure at Wisconsin. Of course, going to Florida, you expect him to be maybe a little bit better, but he wasn't going to be a guy that you feared walking into games. But as you pointed out, I mean, leading the SEC in completion percentage, he had a good season. By all accounts, the statistics looked very appeasing on the eye after the season. To that point, how much of a ceiling does that offense have? How much of a ceiling does that program have with the talent on roster? That winter portal window, they were depleted after the walkouts. They didn't add many in that period. They did add some nice pieces, of course, in the spring season. But again, that's a lot walking out of the door. They lost probably one of the best edge rushers in all of college football. That's Princely Umanmielen going to Ole Miss. And so that's not a guy that they'll have. Had 8 sacks a year ago, expected to take that senior leap again. It's going to have to be a monstrous leap in my eyes.
Eugene Wilson is going to be the best slot receiver Texas plays this year. He could be a future first, second round pick. He's a stud. I saw him in high school. They got the best receiver from Arizona State out of the portal. So at least they have two guys now. My question with them is their offensive line. I think they have talent. Their secondary was young yet last year. We'll see how much those guys mature. They're going to have talent on defense. My question there is that offensive line, were those portal guys they took good enough, or were they upgrades? I think that remains to be seen. Well, what do you think of the fit of Cormani McClain to Florida? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oof. I like it.
Because I think it tells you Florida, that's a win, right? Florida, that's
shows
that's
you the desperation, right? You know,
yeah, desperation.
That's you know, that's exactly it. You roll the dice on a five-star caliber guy, hoping that he can contribute and help bridge the gap from the level that you have of talent on your roster versus what you will be facing. You know, if it doesn't work out, well, shoot, you're probably seeing the door anyways. If it does work out, then hey, it was a great gamble. It's a no lose in my eyes.
Yep.
Hey, how about this one from our friend Rob? Have you guys seen any talk of A&M going undefeated? No, but I don't live in College Station. If they are good, that game in November is pretty important nationally. So I will say this, not throwing out the undefeated. I hope they didn't give Elko a plaque, by the way, because that's a death knell. But the Notre Dame game is a huge opportunity for A&M. That's now a college game day. Mike Elko's first game. Notre Dame ranked top five or six preseason, a favorite to go to the playoff, one of the top six in the Vegas betting odds. Riley Leonard, really good quarterback transfer if he's healthy. Great house, really talented. Offensive line is going to be good at Notre Dame. The receiver that transferred from FIU is going to be a big upgrade. I think Notre Dame's going to have the best skill talent on offense they've had in many years. So I think Notre Dame has a real team, and Freeman's going to play defense. I'm not saying they're a legit top three or four team. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I think this is going to be the best offensive group they've had. So it's an opportunity for Mike Elko, guys. I mean, you know, then the week three for them, they're at Florida. So we just talked about Florida's schedule. Elko has two games right at the beginning of the season where he can get that fan base right there behind him. If he wins one of those two games, if he beats Notre Dame, fan base is all in. And then you have some momentum you can build throughout the season. I think their offensive line is the whole key for A&M this year. And they lack depth. They've got great frontline guys on defense, I think, but the depth. What do you guys see? I mean, that Notre Dame, it doesn't get any – there aren't many times your first game as a head coach at a new school is an opportunity like that at home.
I mean, I was a little surprised. Okay, let's just play a little bit of a schedule game with the Aggies just really quickly, right? Because they're favorite over Notre Dame. This is St. Vegas-wise, guys. They know that last time I looked, they were favorite over Notre Dame. And, you know, then we can throw out the other schools they play. I mean, yeah, you went to Florida. They got McNeese State, I think, something like that. So they will beat McNeese State. They play Florida. We're talking about how bad Florida's going to be. That's at Florida. But we assume Aggies going to beat them, right? Aggies going to win that game. Then they got what, Bowling Green or something like that. All right, they're going to beat Bowling Green. Arkansas is going to be pretty bad, we assume. They're going to beat Arkansas. They're favorite over them. Missouri, I think Missouri's kind of going to win that one, but we'll see. I believe they actually may be, hell, they might be favored in that game too. I mean, if you go look at the Aggies, the lines for the Aggies, they're favored over Missouri by four.
Yeah. So, they got a favorable schedule next year.
Yeah, so they're favored over Missouri. Guys, they're favored over everybody else too. They're going through the lines. They're favored over, except for the Longhorns, but they're favored over LSU. They're favored over Auburn. Basically, Vegas believes that maybe they're just trying to suck these Aggies in to spend some money, which can also be the case, all right? But Vegas believes that these damn Aggies going to basically be a 9-10 win team the way that they got it. They got them basically as an underdog versus the Longhorns, and that's pretty much it.
Well, there's a few notable names not mentioned on this schedule. If you go back up a little bit, I mean, I don't see Georgia, but again, Texas, yeah. Texas has played Georgia as many times as A&M have since they entered the SEC originally. So there's no Alabama. I don't see Oklahoma on there. To me, that's as favorable as it gets, right? You don't get to play many of the big dogs with the good talent. Of course, playing Missouri at home after Arkansas, which will be an emotional game there. I know they've tried to build that up a little bit at AT&T neutral site. Missouri is going to be that toughest competition early in the year. There's a good chance that they're 5-0 if they come off off a win against Notre Dame week one, playing Missouri at home. You know that crowd will be going nuts. That there's a good chance that they have a pretty solid season. Again, all dependent upon that offensive line.
To me, the whole thing, if they start 2-1, they either beat Notre Dame or win at Florida. If they start 2-1, they're going to have some momentum behind them with that schedule. If they drop both of those games, then, you know, it's crazy. It doesn't mean you're going to have a bad season, but that brings 6-6, 7-5 into play. So starting 2-1 is very key for Mike Elko. You know defensively they're going to keep themselves in every game unless they just have busted coverages and a slew of injuries. Mike Elko is really good on defense. They're gonna be in every game. Offensive line, Connor Wiegman keeping him healthy. Which of the guys out of the portal at wide receiver are gonna answer the bell for A&M? They got good backs. Tight ends healthy, they're good there. It's offensive line. It's keeping Wiegman healthy because I do think he's better than the other guys that are on campus there. And then it's the wide receivers. So, can anybody explain why they're favored against Notre? I mean.
That was probably worth 4 points, right? You have to imagine week one, new quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that was DraftKings, so you can go look at DraftKings. That was some DraftKings. That was early in May. That was May 8th. Those odds, so it might have changed recently. Haven't been looked at it, but yeah, as of May 8th, they were favored over Notre Dame. I think they'll lose the Notre Dame game. I think they'll lose the Missouri. I think they'll lose those two games. But still, let's just say they lose those two games. I mean, it still puts them in a position to be where, like, when Texas plays them, 8 or 9 wins around there when Texas plays them.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's if they roll into that game 8-3, and Texas is either 9-2 or 10-1, can you imagine how much is on the line in that game?
Ooh,
you
know, it's a playoff.
How about a college football playoff spot potential?
Yep, that's exactly right.
I mean, that game, I mean, could you imagine bringing the rivalry back with that much being on the line? That's why when people say, oh, college football is in a bad spot, I'm the opposite. I think college football is now in the best spot it's ever been in. Whether you like NIL or not, 12-team playoff is going to make a lot of these games matter. A lot more games matter. These regional rivalries.
Rivalry week is going to be awesome.
These games are going to matter more. I mean, they really are. And people are going to be engaged. I mean, think about how excited Ole Miss fans are right now for the season. You know, you actually think about this. Think about being an NC State football fan. Have you ever had hope? When's the last time you had hope? You now say, if we go 10-2 and we knock off a couple of people in the ACC and we go 11-2 and win the ACC championship, we're in the college football playoff. They've never had hope in college football for a long time. Other than maybe beating Matt Brown. I mean, and winning a few other games, right? You have hope now for those teams, man. I think college football is in an unbelievably great spot moving forward.
That last week, I mean, you think about the games that are historically played there, those big rivalries. You know, you have the Iron Bowl, you have the Egg Bowl, you have the game. You know, Texas A&M is back finally. Playing spoiler on a year that you're down would have to be the best feeling. Right. You know, you're sitting there as a 6-5 team, 7-4. You know, you're not excited for, you know, whatever bowl game that you're going to be stuck in. But that opponent, you know, up the road looking to squeak into the playoffs, and you can go in there and host them or go into their home and keep them from playing in the playoff. I mean, that's great. Right. You got to love that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Rod, we're going to let everybody help you get them ready for Memorial Day weekend.
Talk about
Flat Creek Winery.
Oh, no doubt. As a matter of fact, yesterday you guys saw I broke out some of that Flat Creek wine right here on air just to toast to the Longhorns here on Texas Football. Did you know that the most awarded wine in Texas is actually the vineyard closest to Austin, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. Flat Creek Estate Winery is just minutes from downtown Austin, and they've won award after award this year for their vintage wine, Super Texan. That's what I had last night. I had the Super Texan. It is fantastic. Wifey loves it. I love it. Super Texan is now available at your local Specs. So give it a try. Of course, Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue with BBQs and wine tastings every single weekend. It's perfect for a day date or with your significant other, just going out there for a really nice weekend. That's Flat Creek Estate Winery. You can go to flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com to find out more about all of the the gorgeous amenities and the venue itself at Flat Creek Estate Winery. So we appreciate their support. And like I said, try that super Texan, folks. I would not steal your own. All right, trust me. Wifey knows it really well, and she's a big fan of that super Texan too from Flat Creek Estate.
Hey, just because I had some fun with our guy, Johnny Jackson, we were going to answer this question for him. Will SMU make a bowl game? All right, here's their schedule. We'll do this real quick for him.
Schedule game. Let's go.
At Nevada, Houston Christian, BYU, who can't score, TCU, who's on the way down, Florida State won't be as good. That's a home game. At Louisville, they got decimated in the spring portal. Off week, at Stanford, I mean, who is going to play? The Swimmers? At Duke, Malik Murphy, you can beat him. Pitt, homecoming, who loses homecoming games? Boston College, that's Bill O'Brien, you'll probably win. At Virginia, I don't know. Then Cal at home. I'm going to give you this, Johnny Jackson. SMU's making a bowl game.
I was going to say, I feel like
with that schedule, you might need to revisit the first question he asked him. I mean, they might be making the playoff at that.
Man, Johnny Jackson, you got a schedule next year. That's a great way to go into the ACC life.
He said, whoopee.
I like that.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Lefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer nutricionista especialista en
logística. Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido contable. A tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, guys, we're going to reset the show real quick. Softball tonight. This is Longhorn live stream Friday. That's Rod Baber, CJ Vogel. I'm the idiot, Jerry Hamilton. All right, so we have softball tonight, super regional. Texas A&M welcomes the Aggies in the town for the winner take all to go to the softball World Series. Oklahoma, Texas the 1 seed overall. Oklahoma the 2 seed overall. They won their opener over Florida State last night, 11-3. Some girl hit a ball about 370. I was pretty impressed. Really quick bat. So Texas plays A&M tonight. Sold out. People will be hanging on off the side of the fence. Only seat 1,600, but I'm guessing there will be 2,000 plus there tonight. It'll be SRO around the fence line in left and right field. So it's going to be a packed house to watch Mike White and his number one seeded softball team. Reese Atwood up for Player of the Year honors. I mean, what an incredible year she's had. We talked about the SEC logo going on the field at DKR. There's some pictures out there that are circulating on social media that. So the welcome to the SEC is That event is June 30th in Austin. If you don't know about that, you can look that up online. I think that's going to be a big deal. I'm sure CJ Rod, who knows, I might even be in town for that. We'll see. Bobby Burton may be in town. We'll just see on that. But that's June 30th. We have Texas Elite Camp coming up June 1st. And that's big because KJ Lacy committed Elite Camp last year, CJ. And you have two quarterbacks. The only two quarterbacks that have offers are coming in town June 1st. Dia Bell, son of Rajah Bell, from American Heritage and Plantation, Florida. Who, by the way, Rod, that I was down there 10 days ago. American Heritage has a sophomore receiver that ran 20.4 something in the 200 at a regional track meet. 10.29 is a freshman in high school.
What?
Yes. He's a little dude. He's like 5'9", 160, but that is another level fast for that kid.
And what was he plays receiver?
Yeah, they also have a receiver committed to Miami and another 2026 receiver with like 17 offers.
They're all like
160. And they're all jet, dude. I mean, just like boom, boom.
That's Sark guys. That's Sark. Sark. Those are Sark specials, man. Sark loves them kind of guys, dude. He loves them.
Yep. And then Troy Hune from Mission Hills in San Marcos. He'll be in town as well. The other quarterback with an offer. And look, I really think those guys, CJ, I think they're competing for an offer June 1st. Not just the throwing part, but the being around Sark, being around the guys part, just the comfort Sark has when he makes these decisions. AJ Milwee was at American Heritage May 20th, and then he was at Mission Hills May 22nd to watch those guys throw one last time. Then they'll be flying into Austin a week from today.
Yeah, it'll be a good opportunity to see not only what they can do on the field, but you know how they interact with wide receivers, how they interact with their running backs, their offensive line, with the coaches. You know, because as a quarterback, you command the room. That is your job, to be the face of the program, to be the face of your team. And you know, that's a good opportunity. They'll be thrown to some really talented wide receivers and tight ends coming in for this camp. I mentioned Javion Martin's one of them. They have two really talented California wide receivers coming in, Kenneth Moore and Caden Dixon Wyatt. I mean, it's going to be a good opportunity. It should be, you know, a really, you know, clear picture for Sarkisian and Milwee afterwards. In which direction will they go? Will they be going to the West Coast with Troy Hune? Will they going down to Florida with Dia Bell? I'm sure a lot of recruiting implications will come as a result of which direction they will go. Obviously, Texas has made a lot of headway in both areas as of now, but we'll see. Of course, I think it is, you know, truly a toss-up kind of which direction they will go. I know Texas likes Troy Hune. They were on him very early. He visited last year for the Kansas State game. Dia Bell, a little bit more recent. You know, he was on campus for the first time, I believe, during the spring for one of the early spring practices. But at the same point, I mean, we've yet to see Texas tip their hand in which way they will go with their quarterback decision in the 26 class. Going back a little bit, Arch Manning committed in June. You mentioned KJ Lacy also committed in June. It's going to be a recurring theme, I think, moving forward under Steve Sarkisian, that you see the next class's quarterback make his decision around this time as the summer month gets going before he enters his junior campaign.
Yeah, and I would say that when I was down at American Heritage, Dia Bell mentioned wanting to make a decision in June if possible. I think Troy Hune, same thing. KJ Lacy committed last year at the pool party after the Elite Camp. We'll see if Sark repeats that history 1 year later. It may take a little bit longer time, but we'll see. Maybe not. A question for the panel here from Woodcrest. You guys think eventually the two main conferences will be the SEC and Big Ten, and the NCAA will be useless then? Rod?
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to that. Yeah. The NCAA did this to themselves, right? They decided to punt on a lot of big issues that affected, you know, college football lately. When you're talking about COVID and letting the conferences handle that, whether you're talking about the transfer portal, how they've decided to be kind of laissez-faire with the transfer portal, not enforcing their own rules for the transfer portal. I mean, everybody was just transferring whenever they wanted to, even before they changed the rule. And now I just think ultimately with NIL, they have now with some of the injunctions that have been placed on some of the the court proceedings that are protesting some of these NIL laws, the state laws. The NCAA can't even enforce their own NIL laws anymore, or you know, rules because of these state laws, I should say. Right. So, yeah, I mean, but more and more they're becoming less relevant. I still think there's going to be the have-nots in college football, those who are not a part of the SEC and the Big Ten, and there's going to need to be some governing authority, some governing body over them, and some of the other sports, by the way. The other sports as well. So maybe that's where NCAA is. But in terms of major college sports, major revenue generating college sports, I'm with you. I think maybe we need a commissioner of major college football. And we're about to be in an Android iPhone world of major college sports where you got two choices. You got the Big Ten and you got the SEC for your major college sports. Because honestly, with revenue sharing now being the future, those are the only ones that are going to be able to afford it. That's just reality. Not everybody can afford this, man. This is another 20 or 30 million dollars now added to your that you need to your on your budget. For Texas, they don't worry about that kind of stuff. They got plenty of money. And I think for the Power Five schools, the major players in the Power Five, not the mid majors and not the lower tier schools, they're fine as well. But there are a lot of schools that are going to struggle to keep up with the new financial framework of college football.
Well, that's why they're reaching out to the private equity groups, right? You know, that's one of the reports that came out that. What is it? Redbird Capital.
Yep.
Redbird Capital brought out $10 billion, you know, prepared for schools to reach out and, you know, kind of keep afloat with the way that things are looking with paying the players and, you know, kind of treating them as employees. That's, you know, that's a dangerous route to go. Of course, you know, that could sink an entire athletics program if you're not able to get that back, that payment back. But hey, we've already seen, you know, kind of the shift to a two conference power, you know, shift, right? Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, but look, you know, out east, the ACC, Florida State put out, what, about 6 months ago that they were hoping to, you know, get out of their contract with the conference. And if that happens, what's attractive about that conference anymore? You know, is it an archaic Dabo Swinney and Clemson? I mean, Miami is trying to get back to where they were, but we've seen for decades that that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. That to me, I think right now, if you look at it from a more entertaining, more talented standpoint, I have to go with the Big 12 as that third best conference in college football right now. Should Florida State depart for the SEC or even Big 10 if they let them in? I mean, I think right now you are looking at a future in which it's only the SEC and the Big 10 moving forward.
Yeah.
All right. Patrick Page here. Yes. Zamari Sanders is the kid from American Heritage and Plantation. That's, I mean, I don't know how fast lightning is, but he's close. All right. When you're that age and you're running that sort of times, man. All right. Ryan Nelson has an interesting one for me. Alabama will still own Georgia with DeBoer. He'll out coach Kirby starting this year.
Damn.
So you guys know I love Kalen DeBoer. I think he's a fantastic football coach. And Alabama, that game's at Alabama. And, you know, we talk about – here's the crazy thing about that game this year. We talked about how big the win for Sark was at Alabama last year, beating Nick Saban, how big this Michigan game is for Texas this year. If Kalen DeBoer beats Georgia year one, he's more than off and running. And I think he's going to run just fine in Tuscaloosa. But, man, if he beats Georgia in Tuscaloosa this year – he's off and running, but you want to talk about getting the fan base behind you now with a new hire. But you're literally following up the legend, right? It's hard to do, but you beat Georgia.
Hey, that's not an easy schedule out. Alabama's got for him this year. Georgia at Tennessee, at LSU, Georgia, at Oklahoma. Yep. Yeah. And you got to play Missouri at home. Oof. That's a
tough first-year schedule. And by the way, everybody's talked about this, Rod. I haven't got your opinion. I think CJ and I have talked about this before, but with Georgia – I don't think they're going undefeated. They have road games at Bama, at Ole Miss, and at Texas. I mean, that's three tough road games. I don't care how talented you are. You're probably going to lose one of those games. But if I told you right now, if I said, Kirby, would you take 11-1 right now, would you think you'd take it? Because that means you beat Clemson, drop one of those road games, you're in the SEC title game.
That locks you up in the top four seed, right?
Yeah.
It would have to.
If I said you could have 11-1 right now and not play the season, would you take it, Kirby?
And
I'm guessing you'd take it.
Yeah, because you're in the SEC title game if you're 11-1. Yeah. Right? I mean, there's no way that you're gonna have two teams better than 11-1. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you got the 12-team playoff now, so you don't have to worry about, oh, man, we'll get left out of the playoff if there's two undefeated teams and multiple 11-1 teams. You ain't got to worry about that now.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be in 11-1. Yeah, I think he'd take it. Only pride would be, hey, I want to go undefeated. But, yeah, man, who gives a damn about going undefeated anymore? Right. You can just win the title, the championship. That's what matters.
That's right. That's right. All right, question here from Justin Rosenthal. Do you guys think Saban retired because he saw all the new NCAA changes coming? That and maybe his players weren't going to play in the playoff if they didn't get more NIL money. That's that for a guy that's won 7 titles, he probably looked at that and said, what am I doing here?
That's part of the changes, though, Jerry. That's part of the changes.
That's part of the changes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on that? I say that was definitely part of it. Mm-hmm. But he said one thing in an interview with ESPN that I've been talking about for over a year is when you hit 70 as a college football coach, the one question that's very difficult to answer in recruiting when you start to lose your being the top guy recruiting is, are you going to be here my entire time at Alabama? Mm-hmm. That's a hard question to answer. Honestly, when you get over 70 years old and you hit that 70 number, it was tough. Just look at the history of college football. It's tough. That was the other caveat piece to it. But to this, what do you guys think? I think the answer is absolutely, but the why.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer nutricionista especialista en logística.
Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido a tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Yeah, it absolutely played a part of it. And I think, you know, that it really came to the fruition whenever kids were, you know, planning or threatening to sit out of a college football game, you know, a college football playoff game, because they were not receiving what they believed to be their fair share of NIL. That to me is crazy. And when you consider who it was, and I won't, you know, go into names or anything, but, you know, I would imagine any coach looking at it would have been like, what are we doing here, right? You know, these are top-line key players, starters. So that certainly changes how you shift as a quarterback or as a head coach who's been around for decades, who's achieved the highest achievements in the sport, and now all of a sudden the sport's flipped on its head overnight, essentially. I would imagine, especially at 70 years old, you're looking at saying, how much more do I have in this? How much more effort am I going to have to go into recruiting to make sure that my guys are here for the right reasons? And that's winning, developing, going off to the NFL, where that's not always been the case over the last decade or so with Nick Saban at Alabama. So I don't know. I feel like it's part of it. Now, of course, with the way that all the realignment, all the extra college football noise that you've heard over the last 2 years has not necessarily been about the on-field product, probably plays into the distractions in a way that I'm sure at that age you don't want to deal with on a day-to-day. But, hey, I love him in the booth. I think he brings great charisma. I think
he's awesome. Great,
he's, you know, seeing him smile every now and then, you never saw that. I mean, I think it's great whenever he's up there cracking jokes in the booth. I love it.
I thought he was awesome at the draft, too. I mean, that is the one thing. Here's the thing, a guy like that can speak about the NFL draft, Rod. He evaluated all the 90% of those kids in high school, probably had them in camps. Yep. I mean, he's actually seen them and probably went back in preparing for the draft, probably went back to old reports they had at Alabama on these guys. He can talk about these guys with a recall of actually having seen them, which yep. is that's going to be awesome for him for the next 3 years in college football and the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised some team didn't hire him as an advisor and just have him advise them on, you know, acquisitions through undrafted free agents and in their draft. That's why, by the way, just sidebar, that's why Jim Harbaugh is going to have a little advantage too. For the next 2 years or so, he's got a lot of inside information on those guys. Saw them, either competed against them, watched them on film, recruited a lot of those guys. But getting back to the saving thing, remember in that ESPN article, he said there's something straight. He said 70 to 80% of his players now had other priorities other than team success.
That's right.
He admitted that basically NIL obligations, you know, these guys had other priorities about playing time, if not transfer portal. I just think the type of player that Nick Saban had been recruiting for a decade plus, he started to recognize. Well, he basically started to recognize fewer of those types of players.
Yeah.
And these guys were brands in themselves. And just Nick Saban saying, hey, I'm the GOAT, and I can help you accomplish your dream of being an NFL player, that was no longer enough. And that right. used to be all it took. Like, hey, I'm the GOAT, and I'm telling you I can help you get to the NFL. And it was like, hey, I'm going to Nick Saban. Now it's like, okay, hey, coach, that's great, but do we know the number on my NIL opportunities yet? Because I got another school over here. They offered me a really good deal.
I'm sitting at a high price, guy.
Yes. And Nick Saban, I don't think Nick Saban was probably thought he was above having those types of conversations at all. And that's why you got to give credit to Sark, man. It is tougher than ever. I say it's tougher than ever to raise a kid with social media. It's tougher than ever to have a positive football culture or any sports culture with NIL and transfer portal now, because the athletes they're very different now in terms of their priorities and what they value. And you got to get to the root of it and make sure the main thing stays the main thing. Even though everybody's got their brands and their NIL and all this going on, guys making more than the coaches now. They're driving nicer cars than the coaches. I mean, this is a crazy time, but
are jealous of the vacation some of these guys are
exactly.
taking.
Exactly. Dude, these guys are going to the Bahamas. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Dude, I went to, you know, I'd go to Galveston. That's why I'm going to go to a beach. These guys are going Barkley. To Miami. it's just a different way to communicate, and you're dealing with a different type of player than you have. And by the way, they're about to get even more independent minded, more brand oriented, because they're about to be in on revenue sharing too.
Yeah.
So Nick Saban got out in the perfect time, because Nick Saban with revenue sharing, he'd have been pulling out the little Harry's got left.
And that's climbed the ladder too. You know, the Titans head coach Brian Callahan came out and said, yeah, it's a little bit different now with the way that rookies come into camp now. Of course, yes. They've dealt with NIL. They've gone through transfer portals. Hopefully he's not talking about Tavondre Sweat here, but you know, at the same point, it goes all the way up football. It's changed everything in terms of how these guys approach coaching staffs, approach their day-to-day being, you know, kind of juggling not only a football player on the field, but someone who's looking for brand deals, endorsements, and, you know, managing money. That's a big part of it as well. So it's gone all the way up the ladder to the NFL as a result of these changes that we've seen over the last few years with NIL.
Hey, one of the things I wanted to hit on too, we got about 5 minutes left here. One of the things I want to hit on, we have a number of players that will be arriving in Austin here in the next few days. Silas Bolden is already in Austin, the Oregon State transfer. He's finishing up. The reason he didn't come in for in January. He's finishing up. So he graduated from Oregon State. So he's a grad transfer officially now. He's in Austin. Javion Cole, who was going to join us today, having a little bit of internet issues. We're going to work on getting him back on. So apologize for that. He is coming in on the 28th. Jermaine Lole, probably around that same time. Bill Norton, probably around that same time. We'll see if they get in a couple days earlier. But then there's four high school guys coming in, Rod. And I had a question for you. So we have Michael Kern, the punter, who you guys had on the show last week. That was awesome. Then you have Melvin Hills, who's up to 290 pounds. He said we had him on the show recently, the three-star D lineman out of Lafayette Christian Academy. Then you have Nate Kibble, who looked great physically at the Texas spring game, walking in with Mama, by the way. He looked really good physically out of Atascocita. He'll be here in a few days. Those guys are all graduating high school. And then Santana Wilson. Rod, I wanted to ask you about Santana Wilson because, look, Manny Muhammad benefited so much by coming in for the spring. Mm-hmm. And if everybody benefits, but talk to me about the benefits as a corner in coming in early versus June. What do you think as a corner are those benefits? Because it's easy to say for an offensive lineman or D lineman, reshape body, drop bad weight, gain weight, work with Kyle Flood, work with Kenny Baker, whatnot. That's pretty easy answers. Mm-hmm. But at corner, what are those benefits?
Oh, I think at corner, it's probably going to be more about getting accustomed to the speed, the speed of the game at corner. There's no way you can compare that college and in the high school level. You maybe once or twice you played up against a guy, defended a guy that had, you know, that kind of skill set, that had a high-level college football skill set, but not very often, even when you're playing in really competitive leagues. And I was in 5A at H-Town, and I played against maybe one or two of those guys my senior year. So just dealing with the level of competition, the speed of the game, then your familiarity with, you know, the new techniques, right? There, I mean, in high school, a lot of times guys aren't even technicians in high school. I talked to this young man, Santana Wilson, and He is high level. Now, he's an old soul because his dad played in the NFL, but he's got a very in-depth knowledge about different techniques to use at the line of scrimmage and different methods when you're playing press and bump and run coverage. So he's going to come in, I think, ahead of schedule of a lot of guys. But, yeah, usually you learn some of that from the old heads. Because in high school, you're not taught a range of techniques and press methods. You're just pretty much going out there and coaches telling you kind of the basic fundamentals of it. But you get really in depth when you come talk to some of the older guys about it. And then you get that jump on, you know, if you get a jump on learning the coverages and learning exactly what techniques that you're going to use in certain situations, because a lot of coaches at the college level are very detailed about, all right, when we play cover three, we play it like this, with this leverage, with these keys, reading these keys, and with this type of eye discipline. And you want to learn those things because it's a process and you're going to be slow at it at first until you can make it muscle memory, and then you can kind of go through it repetition after repetition, and then you can go through it more smoothly, and then your progressions, kind of like quarterback, your progressions are second nature. And it takes a while for a young corner to do that, especially with Texas. They're going to play a lot of zone early on. They don't trust these guys necessarily playing man. When you play man, you got less of the technique and fundamentals to worry about. These guys are going to be playing zone. And zone, you got to have discipline eyes. You're reading keys constantly. And you got to be – this is what I love about Javion Cole's game. You got to be really disciplined in your keys. And he is playing zone coverage. This is one of the things I was going to ask him about when we got a chance to talk to him. But how much man you played, how much zone you played, how much press you played. But I love his off game and playing zone. I think he's a veteran, kind of the guy's a great feel for playing off. And some of the things you learn that you didn't learn in high school. Like a lot of guys don't have that patience in your game in high school. That's some of the things you learn when you come in early.
All right, this is going to be our final question today. James Laurie asked this earlier, and I thought this was a great question. Because I've dealt in the basketball world for a long time. Do football recruits make decisions based on apparel company like Nike, Adidas, or UA, or is that more of a basketball thing? So I'll answer the basketball thing first, because the question I want to ask you guys is about the future. Right now, no, it's a basketball thing. Adidas tried to get in there with the 7-on-7 leagues and the All-Star games, but they've really backed off of that. Sorry about the dog barking in the background. My feet aren't sore. Look, it's not basketball level. Like, I was in an AAU tournament in Atlanta when I was on the road. And, I mean, you're sitting there, And Kevin Durant has a Nike team. LeBron has his Nike team. Carmelo has his Nike. I mean, it's a total different world in basketball, right? And there is influence. Kevin Durant, coming out of high school, was going to attend a Nike school. It came down to UConn, North Carolina, and Texas. He was not going to an Adidas school at all coming out of high school. It happens. It's real. That's the way the shoe companies, get those parents then to help get those kids to sign those long-term deals with Nike or Adidas, whoever you're with, Under Armour long-term. My question for you guys to close out the show today is, and I have one super chat we got to get to, is this. Do we ever think it becomes part of it in college football recruiting? I don't, because there's not a return on investment for football cleats, and these guys have to be in college 3 years. But do we ever get to a point where Adidas, somebody said, maybe we try this a little bit? I don't think it's coming to that, guys. I think, but basketball's, well, you're one and done. When you're 15, they already know you're going to be a great, great player, and you only have to go to college 1 year, or you go to overtime elite for a year. What do you guys think?
Yeah, unless someone gets a NIL deal with to bring back the Vapor Jets, right? That would really be the only way that I think someone would make that big of an impact in the college football cleat world. Of course, that's kind of the staple. Like, once you make the NBA or you're a guy making that leap from college to the pros in the world of basketball, the minute that you earn your own signature shoe, I mean, that is the biggest stamp of approval, right? There's not yet that kind of similarity in football. And I think that's where you see, the bridge or lack thereof of why you don't see these, big brand companies coming in and having such influence. Of course, it's nice whenever you walk into, whether it be an official visit or, you walk into the equipment room and you see all of the nice, laid out, Nike gear, the dry fit apparel, whatever it is, that goes a long way. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I think it doesn't yet, tilt the scales in one way or the other when it comes to the decision at the end of a day, whether or not I'm going to go play for a Nike school or an Under Armour or an Adidas. Thank God Russell's out of the equation now, but just those three, I don't think it has that much of a say at the current moment.
Now, so I want Rod to tell us one thing, and then I have a super chat in this show. Tell people what car you're going to be driving the Flat Creek Wine later.
See, that's a great point. And I honestly, I'll try not to drive out there to Flat Creek. I'll try, I want to enjoy some of the wines. I want to make sure I do it responsibly. But yes, we are proud and happy that our friends over at South Point Dodge are part of the On Texas family. Listen, folks, South Point Dodge is Austin's automotive everything. Looking to sell your car? Get South Point's best offer over the phone or online. You can get top dollar for any make and any model, even if you don't buy it from South Point Dodge. How about that, folks? South Point Dodge is home of the real deal, where they're getting you that lowest price on the best new Ram trucks or making sure you get the best value for your old car. Visit them online at southpointdodge.com, or you can visit them off of I-35 in South Austin. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you very much, South Point Dodge. Here we're going to end the show with the super chat from KM. Oh. Rod versus CJ in NCAA 25 live stream. I think it needs to be played. I think maybe we'll make Bingle a part of it if he wants to be a part of it. But
I chatted with Bengal earlier today, Jerry. He's got a little test run at the current game. Told me it's tremendous. Told me it's phenomenal. Looks even better than the graphics and the kind of. What's it called? We saw the video of DKR yesterday come out. Mm-hmm. He said it looks even better. So I cannot wait to get my hands on this game. Rod, bring it on.
There's a rumor that if you are a 5-star recruit,
ooh,
that it's gonna be Yep.
That'd be big time.
That joystick's gonna feel a little different when you hit the C button or the B button. There's a rumor. We'll see whether that's true or not.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate that. I was like, hey, that's gonna be my name when I put it on CJ on the game, baby. That's gonna be my name up there. Appreciate. Hey,
thank you. Colt, yes, I love Colt Monroe super chats because Blake Monroe hates Colt Monroe super chats. Thank you for spending Blake's money on the Longhorn live stream Friday. I appreciate it, baby.
Thank you, Colt.
Hey, that kick in hit a curveball in the slider, by the way. All right. Good luck in summer baseball this year, Colt. And thank you, everybody, for joining in today for the Longhorn live stream. And everybody have a awesome but safe, obviously, Memorial Day weekend. And we'll talk to you again Monday. We have a bunch of content this weekend as well. CJ's about to film something. Bobby's got a great Saturday conversation. We got a lot of stuff coming. Look, by the way, if you missed it and you're on the Super Chat, if you missed it, go watch the DeCorey and Moore interview that we put up Wednesday at Duncanville. Awesome kid. Michael Fasusi, we put up Tuesday. If you haven't seen some of those player interviews, everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Y'all have a good weekend. Have a good one.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer, nutricionista, especialista en logística.
Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido contable. A tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.